Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. www.eprn.us.
Are you a proud Black business owner or musician? Email me at ninashaz@gmail.com to have your business and music posted and mentioned on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, for a small donation. We're a proud sponsor for Black-owned businesses and are looking forward to promoting your hard work and further success. Again, if you're interested in having your business advertised, please email me at ninashaz@gmail.com. That's ninashaz@gmail.com.
Have you ever wondered how your shoes are made? Ever wondered about the quality and craftsmanship involved in making them? What you wear on your feet is important. That's why I prefer to style and profile in my pair of Black Star Politic sneakers. Go to aliveshoes.com/brand/blackspolitic. Distinguish and separate yourself from the rest with your style. Check out the latest shoe and sneaker designs created not only to support your feet. The footwear also supports the efforts of the Black Star Political Party movement. Enter a new era of empowerment, all while wearing your pair of Black Star Politic or Lady Black Star handcrafted shoes and sneakers. Order yours at aliveshoes.com/brand/blackspolitic.
Are you prepared for the 2023 fall and winter months? Dry skin season is upon us, and you should be ready with AHA Soufflé, thick, rich, creamy body butters. We have a variety of scents to choose from. Enjoy our famous strawberry mango, vanilla coconut, and cherry, just to name a few. Shop our website, AHA.com, or for faster pickup, visit your local beauty supply or health food stores near you. Also, show some love by liking and sharing our Absolutely Fabulous Facebook page or ShadeQueen77 IG page. Absolutely Fabulous. Your skin? Well, thank you for it.
Peace and blessings, family. Hermina Shabazz here to welcome you to the Voice of Black Star on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, where you will get the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me, y'all. We can also connect on Facebook, i.e. Conversations with a Hebrew, Brew Virtual Book Club, and Black Star Political Party. Also, if you love the skin you're in, visit your local beauty supply store or health food store near you and purchase AHA Soufflé with a variety of scents to choose from, such as strawberry mango, vanilla coconut, and lemongrass, just to name a few, are made with all natural ingredients and whipped to creamy, rich perfection. Follow, like, and share on Facebook, Absolutely Fabulous, and Instagram, ShadeQueen77. Your skin will thank you for it. Are you a business owner looking to advertise your hard work without breaking the bank? Voice of Black Star has you covered for a small monthly fee of $30. Voice of Black Star airs every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For further details, email afshaybutter@gmail.com. Again, that's afshaybutter@gmail.com. And last but never least, if you like what you hear, like, share, and subscribe to the channel. Donations are welcomed and much appreciated. You may send your blessings via Cash App with the money sign and Hermina Shabazz as the Cash App name. Thank you and have a blessed day. Love the skin you're in daily with AHA Soufflé Rich Creamy Body Butters. Visit your local beauty supply or health food store and purchase a variety of scents such as strawberry mango, baby fresh, and vanilla coconut to name a few. Please follow, like, and share on our Facebook page, Absolutely Fabulous, and our Instagram pages, ShadeQueen77 and Silky Shay. Your skin will glow for you. Are you a business owner looking to advertise your growing business without breaking the bank? Voice of Black Star has you covered. Voice of Black Star airs every Friday on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, which is also linked to other podcast radios such as TuneIn, Player, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. For further details about airing your brand and business, contact ninashaz@gmail.com. Blessings, family. Hermina Shabazz here to welcome you to the Voice of Black Star on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, where you will get the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me, y'all. We can also connect on Facebook, i.e., Conversations with the Hebrew, Brew Virtual Book Club, and Black Star Political Party. Also, if you love the skin you're in, visit your local beauty supply or health food store near you and purchase AF Shea Soufflé with a variety of scents to choose from, such as strawberry mango, vanilla coconut, and lemongrass, just to name a few, are made with all natural ingredients whipped to rich, creamy, thick perfection. Follow, like, and share on Facebook, Absolutely Fabulous, and Instagram, ShayQueen77. Your skin will thank you for it. Grand Rising fam, fall is approaching. Are you ready to fall in love with your skin this season by using the world's creamiest shea butter? Absolutely Fabulous Shea Soufflé has you covered from head to toe. Visit your local beauty supply or afshea.com today. Are you a black business owner looking to expand your audience and clientele? Voice of Black Star can help with you promoting your ads during our broadcast, aired every Friday on Exquisite Podcast Radio Networking. Not only is the Voice of Black Star here to help awaken souls to the Father, but to support our brothers and sisters to expand their business. Email me, minashazz@gmail.com. That's minashazz @gmail.com. Thank you for being a supporter of Voice of Black Star on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Networking. We'll thank you for it.
Can it be?
This is Free Babylon.
She wrote a number down
here
in front of me.
These wicked rulers and wicked people, heart filled with evil. People with riches and camels, they won't fit through the needle. I'm trying to tell you like the words of the song, like the shadow. They won't be round very long. I put my riches in heaven, but on earth I'm a peasant. I wonder why they don't question, they just listen to reverend. Well, let me tell you like the words of the song, like a shadow. They won't be round very long.
Welcome to Babylon, she's the biggest whore ever. Ran by arrogant kings like Nebuchadnezzar. Egyptologists believe your heart is weighed against the feather, but Yahweh's the spirit and his judgment is forever. Seeing is believing, that's the world's understanding. But even if we seen it, still we wouldn't understand it. This vision's for the visionary, not for the vision. You never visualize if your mind is in prison. You never can achieve if you're living like a Christian. Backslide daily, dreaming of a white Christmas. I serve Yah, so I hope I'm in the remnant. Wish I could convince the world they need to be repentant. And I thought since I had the truth, people would want to hear me. Instead they hate the truth, so they'd rather stay from near me.
These wicked rulers are wicked people, heart filled with evil. People with riches and camels, they won't fit through the needle. I'm trying to tell you like the words of the song, like the shadow. They won't be round very long. I put my riches in heaven, but on earth I'm a peasant. I wonder why they don't question, they just listen to reverend. Well, let me tell you like the words of the song, like a shadow. They won't be round very long.
I was born in 89 when the Berlin Wall fell. Perhaps I'll be here long enough to see it all fail. For the love of ballin', they underbought all spell. Teach me to chase money, but that is a tall tale. The dead among the dead can't even smell foul smells. The water's full of poison, the bread is all stale. The flesh is all bad, the spirit is all good. Many claim to be shepherds, but they are not all good. It's simple if you open your ears, the deaf can hear it. So if your eyes are closed, I pray I'll reach you with these lyrics. Change your ways today, not later or next yearish. Since we know that Yah judges us righteously, we should fear it. And I thought since I had the truth, people would want to hear it. Instead they hate the truth, so they'd rather stay from near it.
These wicked rulers are wicked people, heart filled with evil. People with riches and camels, they won't fit through the needle. I'm trying to tell you like the words of the song, like a shadow. They won't be round very long. I put my riches in heaven, but on earth I'm a peasant. I wonder why they don't question, they just listen to reverend. Well, let me tell you like the words of the song, like a shadow. They won't be round very long.
Our job to bring the truth, not everybody gon' bear it. Making them love Yah is like an arranged marriage. We can pray for them, but most of them gon' perish. I speak the language of love, I've never been to Paris. Soon the time will come when they label me a terrorist. Because I know the truth, when Babylon told me cherish. Lie on top of lie and spit it back like a parrot. A soldier for Yah, I'm decorated with merits. I got sisters and brothers that feel the same. Keep the law of Yah, and they call me by my name. To go through hell on earth and then the lake will be a shame. Cause Babylon's going and America's her name. My people bring the truth, you think they will want to hear us? Instead they feel condemned, so they'd rather stick near us. That's that mindset.
Heart filled with
heart filled with evil. People with riches of camels, they won't fit through the needle. I'm trying to tell you like the words of the song, like the shadow. They won't be around very long. I put my riches in heaven, but on earth I'm a peasant. I wonder why they don't question, they just listen to reverend. Well, let me tell you like the words of this song, like a shadow. Them won't be around very long, around very long, around very long, like a shadow. They won't be around very long, around very long, around very long, like a shadow. They won't be around very long, they won't be around very long, they won't be around very long.
Shalom, I'm Pastor Lanny with First Resurrection Fellowship Church and Synagogue. And one thing to kick it off with End Times Prophecy, our website is firstresurrectionfellowship.com, but I've been trying to avoid saying www. You know, the website, because the letter W goes, and the letter W in the Hebrew ties to the number 6, because in Hebrew they didn't have separate number, they didn't have separate characters for their numbers. They're kind of like, you know, with Roman numerals, they have Roman numerals. It was the same thing with Hebrew. So the numbers are actually tied to the letters, and so in Hebrew W is tied to 6. So every time you're doing www, you're actually in numbers, that would be the equivalent of putting 666. But so that's something I've been trying to avoid. But what's the first thing you would like to really get into biblically with end time prophecies?
Okay, for instance, like right now, let's get into, like, take it to the political side. Is Trump and Elon Musk, do they have their role in this end time prophecy? Are they considered, you know, the beast system? And just kind of break that down for us.
So scripturally, they wouldn't be, they're not the beast. Trump's not the beast. Nor is Elon Musk the beast or the false prophet. The beast and the false prophet mentioned in the book of Revelation, and that's also alluded to in other parts of the scriptures. It tells you in the book of Revelation that they're going to come out of Rome and the Roman Empire, and that's not dealing with America. That in the book of Revelation is very clear, and also not even just the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel as well, is very clear the breakdown of the kingdoms. You started off with, when you're dealing with, in the scriptures, it talks about the time of the Gentiles. And in Daniel, we'll just go with Daniel first. In the book of Daniel, he breaks down there's four kingdoms broken down that were going to basically rule the world or rule most of the world, be the dominant world powers. And in both the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, it lets you know that the fourth one is going to be the last one. That fourth one is going to be the one that Christ, HaMashiach, destroys at his second coming. And so the first one is the Chaldeans. The second one was the Medo-Persians. The third one was the Greeks, and the fourth one is the Romans. And we've been, if you study throughout history, we've been dealing with the Roman Empire in Europe reviving itself on and off for basically the last 2,000 years. And so in the book of Revelations, it gives you the description to identify this kingdom. It says she sits on 7 hills. So literally Rome sits on 7 hills, but also in the Bible, hills and mountains are used prophetically, especially in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, to refer to kingdoms. All right. So besides the fact that Rome just sits on 7 hills, and I'm correlating this to the fact that, Trump and Elon Musk have nothing to do with the beast or the false prophet and that whole thing, just so we know where the beast and the Bible is pretty clear where the beast and the false prophet is going to come from. But those seven hills, that's also mentioned in the book of Revelations, that it tells you this woman sits on this kingdom. It ties back to the four kingdoms I just named, with you start with the Chaldeans, one, then the Medo-Persians, two, then with the Greeks, there after Alexander the Great, their kingdom was split amongst their four generals. So that's four, that makes six. And then the last kingdom is the Roman Empire, that makes seven. So prophetically too, she sits on, that kingdom sits on all those other kingdoms, with it being the seventh. Also in the book of Revelation, as well as in the book of Daniel, it talks about 10 horns, right? And these are 10 different revivings of the Roman Empire that's happened throughout history. Going back, the first three being the Germanic tribes that tried to revive it. And then after that, you have Justinian, Charlemagne, Otto, King Charles, Napoleon, Mussolini. The last horn is going to be, or the final leader is going to be the last leader of the European Union. The European Union is the 10th reviving, that final reviving, that 10th horn. And the beast and the false prophet are going to be the last leader of the European Union and the last leader. And when I say last, because at Christ's second coming, it tells you in the scriptures, or HaMashiach's, you know, second coming, it tells you in the scriptures, he's going to destroy the beast and the false prophet. He's going to literally throw them into the lake of fire alive, and their kingdom is going to be destroyed. And the false prophet is the religious wing of their kingdom. The religious wing of their kingdom is the papacy. So in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, there's a little horn, right, that's mentioned, that sprung up on the side, and that little horn plucked up the first three horns. That's the papacy and what would later become the Vatican. So that's the beast and the false prophet. Right now, Trump is kind of moving America away from doing things with the European Union. So I don't see a correlation with that. And as far as biblically in prophecy, as far as America goes, there's nowhere in the Bible that it mentions America directly. So the United States of America, if the United States of America continues to follow along with the Western world's agenda, which would include the European Union, then you could say America is a daughter of Babylon, and include America in, you know, that category as far as prophecy goes. But there's no, and that's in a general sense, but there's nowhere in the Bible where it directly deals with the United States of America. People stretch with that.
Okay.
In my opinion, because I just go off of you. I can't read anywhere in the Bible where it mentions the United States of America directly. And the Bible mentions a lot of places. But the United States of America is not mentioned in Scripture directly related to prophecy.
Okay, so would America be considered then just another part of the Roman Empire then, so to speak, the reviving of it? Would it be considered that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it was founded It was founded by one of the daughters of Babylon. So it was set up originally. If you're going with the origins of the 13 colonies for America, so like the eastern half of the United States with Britain colonizing America, the Anglican Church is still in communion with the Roman Catholic Church. And at times in the 1700s, the King of England was also one of the Prince Electors of the Holy Roman Empire as well. And even the name America, if you look at it etymologically, it goes, so a lot of people think America just goes back to Amerigo Vespucci, the explorer. But that name, Amerigo, if you trace it back to its etymological origins, is Germanic, and it actually goes back to one of the Germanic kings that ruled Rome, that was one of the Roman emperors, back when I mentioned earlier how the first three horns of the ten that's talked about in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, those that deal with the reviving of the Roman Empire, the first three were Germanic peoples who tried to revive the Roman Empire. And that name, the name America, goes back to one of those emperors. And his name was Almeric. And that's what it is in Germanic. And from the Germanic languages of Almeric, it became Amerigo, and like America, that's where we get even the name America from. So the United States would be an extension of that. The western half of the United States was originally colonized by like Spain and France, which were under the direct authority of the Pope and the papacy. So also to this entire hemisphere, so the entire New World was originally, when I'm saying originally with the Europeans, that is part of the Roman Empire. By extension, the Pope is the one who divided it originally at first between the Portuguese and the Spanish originally. So over the countries over here, scripturally, if you're looking at prophecy, it's just going to be daughters of Babylon, unless those countries operate in righteousness. So, you know, there's no perfect countries, but you do have from my studies, I've seen like some of the countries in the Caribbean, they have a lot of laws that are very biblically based and stuff. And they claim to believe in God and stuff. So, America is, there's nothing in the scriptures that would make you, there's nothing in the scriptures that that would identify any country over here in the New World being a major factor in things happening in the end, and with the end times, unless it's going to be in conjunction with the European Union, and right now that's not the trajectory America is going on right now for the time being. They were on that trajectory prior to this administration, but with the new administration, the Trump administration, they're not on that. America's not really on that trajectory right now. So.
Okay. So there's no need to be panicking and packing up and fleeing and flying to Africa and all these places, because you know the flee doctrine is very big right now. Because, I mean, we're on these YouTube streets, you know, dealing with all these different camps and things like that, and all this so-called camp doctrines. It's been promoted that, you know, you having to flee the America. So you flee the America, you know, you flee and everything. How does that set up? Because I know the scripture does talk about flee to the mountains and this right here, and I think people are kind of using that a little too far to the left, so to speak. How would you justify, as prophecy-wise for us in America, in the flee doctrine as far as that? Because we are, like you say, are we in the end times? Are we in literally in the end times? Is this the last days? Are we living truly in the last days?
Okay, so I'll address both of those. So yes, we're living in the end times, the last days. To be biblically technical, we've been in the last days since Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Because even in the New Testament, in the epistles, Paul and others let them know they're living in the last days, during their times. And the reason for that is Christ was crucified. HaMashiach was crucified. It tells you in the book of Daniel, in the midst of the week, meaning in the middle of the week. And he was literally crucified on Passover on what Babylon calls Wednesday. But in the Hebrew calendar, the biblical calendar, the biblical timeline, okay, everything, it only goes up to 7,000. And at 6,000, that's when it stops for man's time. And at 6,000 is supposed to be HaMashiach's 1,000-year reign, or when HaMashiach is going to rule on this earth, with his kingdom. And no one knows the exact number, as far as the exact year, but we can guesstimate kind of close. And so if you look at the people who practice like the rabbinical forms of Judaism, which is not the truth, but if you look at their calendars, I forget where they have it at. When I'm doing a lesson for our church and synagogue, someone will always put it in there. But it's like somewhere around like 5,700, like 5,780 something, or 5,800 something, right? But it ends at 6,000. And so if you look at when Christ was crucified. Him being crucified in the midst of the week, right? So that would be at the 3.5 day point. You have 7, days in the week. And it's believed Christ was crucified. It's believed like Christ was crucified around like 27 AD. So we're now like 2,000 years past that. The scripture says a day unto the Lord is like 1,000 years. And so if you go, that would put us at like the 5.5 day mark. You add 2,000, add 2 to that 3.5, right? And that would put us at the 5.5 mark. So, and once you reach 6, that's supposed to be HaMashiach's, second coming. So we've been living in the last days scripturally for the last like 2,000 years, and now we're in the last final stretch. As far as the flee doctrine goes, I'll try to separate my opinion from, let's just deal scripturally. The main time that the Israelites should be fleeing, whether they're ethnic Israelites or religious Israelites, is when the Great Tribulation starts. And the scriptures, the Bible tells you that's going to be when the abomination of desolation happens. So that hasn't happened yet, and that can't happen till a temple is built. Were you going to say something?
Rome, a few years ago, didn't they have like the burning of the brown calf, the cow, and all that? Didn't they do that already?
They got they found a heifer, a red heifer, but there's no temple that's been built And they're not, there has to be a temple that's built, and they have to start back doing the, they have to start back doing the sacrifice permanently. Like not just that, not just the red heifer. They have to do a burnt sacrifice every day, evening and morning. Like, a, you know, because there was a continual, everyday sacrifice. And that's what it's talking about in the scriptures when it mentions the abomination of desolation, when the, you know, the man of sin is going to go and stop them from doing that. So that hasn't, that's the, they're getting things with, like what you just mentioned, they're getting things set up for that. But they still need to build the temple, which they, you know, they're making plans and things for that, as well too. So, so even with what's going on right now over there, the main problem that would hold them up from doing that is basically the Palestinians and their, with what's going on over there with between them and Hamas and the hostage situation and all that. And if you look at Israel, if you look at Israel's response and what it's done to Gaza and the people there, you know, who even that might be going into the direction of allowing of them, of Israel finally just building some type of temple there. But this, even with that, I just want to mention the scripture says it's not going to be where the Dome of the Rock is. And they've already, they where the Dome of the Rock Mosque is, it's not going to be built there. And they already have people like in Israel of their so-called experts telling them, trying to justify not building it there by saying the original temple wasn't where the Dome of the Rock is, but that's not true. In the book of Daniel, it tells you, and if you look at it in the original Hebrew, in the KJV, it says where the abomination of desolation is going to take place is going to be the sanctuary of strength in the KJV. But if you look at it in the Hebrew, sanctuary of strength there in the Hebrew means temple fortress. So that's where they're actually going. And the temple fortress was in the outer court outside of the main part where the temple was, because it was set up to, you know, basically defend the temple. And so in Daniel, it lets you know that's where the abomination of desolation is going to take, is actually going to take place. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, the apostle John, when the angel tells him to measure the court, the measure of the temple, it's like he, the angel told him to leave out the outer court because that's where the Gentiles are going to come and trample underfoot for 3.5 years, which is the amount of time that the Bible says the Great Tribulation is going to be. But so at that time, that's when the ethnic Israelites, spiritual or religious Israelites as well, that's when they should flee. You know, anybody who's a follower of Christ, a real follower of Christ, that's when it says you should flee, you know, to the wilderness. As far as right now for African American Israelites, the Israelites in America, the flee doctrine from the lands of your captivity is not scriptural, because in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, right, it lets you know in the book of Jeremiah that we were to, after the Babylon captivity, right, it says in the book of Jeremiah that in the lands that we're taken to in captivity, that we should get married, right? Like, so the men should get wives, the women should get husbands, we should have families, right, have kids, right, have houses, you know, grow our own, be able to grow our own food so we can provide, you know, be able to provide for ourselves, like get land, right, and pray for the safety of the places the Lord has sent us in captivity, right? Because we're not going to have true control of our homeland until Christ comes back, and our original homeland is Israel. Africa is just going anywhere else other than Israel is just a second rate cop out, if you want to be technical, and is no different than you, because your people migrated from different places. So I'll give myself as an example and my wife as an example too. Like, our families have been here, besides being part Native American, which if you were brought over here, if we're dealing with African Americans, if you were brought over here as slaves or indentured servants, even if you were like a free person of color, a significant number of them, if you've been here long enough, you're going to be mixed with Native Americans. So that's one. But besides that, use me and my wife as an example. Our ancestors have been in America, like in Mississippi, for over 10 generations. And then before that, like the Carolinas and Virginia, and that going over 12 generations. So you're talking about almost 400 years. For if you look at Africa, a lot of those groups have only been in their current location in that part of Africa for the last 500 years, for the last, you know, for the last 700 years. All right, so our original homeland is Israel. So I just mentioned what Jeremiah said. Scripturally, he said it would be wiser for us to, and that was from the Lord. Like, that's what the Lord was telling us, like that we should remain where we're at. This is in the book of Jeremiah. Get wives, get husbands, have children, you know, get houses, get land, and pray for the safety and the security and the prosperity of the lands that you've been brought to in captivity. And it mentions because there's safety in that for you, because that's where we are. So it would be wiser. Our people here in America, we've been kind of in rebellion with this, even going back to the Great Migration. And a lot of stuff in the United States when it comes to African Americans and our movement, most of that stuff, if you trace back its origins, it goes back to communists, and there's a lot of communists who have their hands in this stuff. Even going back to like the Harlem Renaissance and a lot of the people involved in that, there's really communist influence. That's not in the best interest of our people. The communism is not, it's diametrically opposed to, you know, our way of thinking. It's atheist. It doesn't even come from us. It comes from Europe. It's not going to work for us. So we as a people, if we would have abided by what the Bible said in Jeremiah, we were already, in a lot of the states, like in the South, we were already the majority of the population. After the Great Migration, a lot of them are not the majority anymore. But you still have a large African-American population, right? Instead of fleeing to Africa, where when you get there, there's a whole bunch of different ethnic groups and stuff there, right? Even though you think they all look alike and that they don't, and you may think, oh, they're all the same, they're not, right? And you get over there, you're going to have to figure that out. And they got their own issues and things with their ethnic divisions and all of that. There are already places in the United States that you can move to that are, if you want to be in a city that's majority African American, and you don't, if that's your thing as far as fleeing, it's majority African American, and it's the police chief is going to be African-American. The mayor is going to be African-American. The fire chief is going to be African-American, if that's your thing. And there's rural parts here, too. Same thing. And the more people who move, there's already rural parts of these states that are majority African-American. But if more people moved, if more people, you know, instead of fleeing Africa, if more African-Americans move there, instead of trying to flee to Africa, you could just become the majority here in these states and then run the state however, however we see fit, or however y'all see fit once they get into power. But if you're fleeing right now, if someone was trying to flee Babylon right now, it shouldn't be on anything ethnic. It should be on, it should be spiritual, right? So if you were trying to flee Babylon now, it should be for spiritual reasons, not ethnic reasons. And if you were trying to flee like your daughter of Babylon, so, trying to move to a more rural area and preparing so that you can get used to preparing and prepping for, when the Great Tribulation does happen, because it may happen in your lifetime. And if you wanted to actually start preparing for that, and moving more to a more rural area. And if someone was trying to go, to Africa for that, all right, that, for a very specific reason, I would understand that. But fleeing right now for ethnic reasons because of anything going on right now in America politically, that's not scriptural, nor do I personally agree with that. I would say, in my personal opinion, I think African Americans should try for once the Booker T. Washington approach as the majority of us doing that, because it was big at one point, but that was never the majority approach. Instead, we took the W.E.B. Du Bois approach, which isn't practical for most people. The W.E.B. Du Bois approach was more from kind of a Northeast coastal elite academic, educated academic perspective, which that's not the majority of human beings on the planet Earth. They don't fall into that category. So we need a more practical approach. And that would be my personal opinion on that as well.
Okay, so Booker T. Washington, can you give us a little tidbit of what his approach would have been to the situation we're in?
What was said in the book of Jeremiah by the prophet, to get wives, get husbands, start families, learn you some type of trade or some type of skill so that you can become economically viable. And so basically, to make a long story short, Booker T. Washington was saying for us to be like how America looks at Asians now, like they look at them as a model minority. Booker T. Washington was saying for us to do that before Asians were even here in America in large numbers like that, and before anyone even looked at them as a model minority. Booker T. Washington was basically telling us to take that approach and let our work ethic and learning skills and trades, and let our actions speak louder than our words. But by becoming economically viable, we can support ourselves and building strong families, right? And also, Booker T. Washington was big on owning land. That was another thing that they were big on, was owning land, right? So also, if you're going to go to college, instead of going to college to study literature, you know, or to study fine arts, which is the type of stuff, you know, people from the W.E.B. Du Bois background, you know, will promote, or like studying, going back, you know, 100 years, like over 100 years ago, but are promoting studying like the Greek classics at Tuskegee Institute. It was, you know, if you're going to go to college, you might as well go to college to learn something that's going to actually get you a good paying job, or have you learn a skill set that's going to allow you to, you know, start your own business or do your own thing where you can require from people a decent salary, or, you know, a decent amount of money for your skills. So things like engineering, right? You know, as well. So a lot of the technical, trades, but they also have things like, you know, helping people with degrees like in janitorial services. And even with that, you don't have to be the janitor. You could be the one running the business, the janitorial service business. So he was coming more so from that standpoint of, you know, as a people taking over industries, that's something we could do, like that you see other groups here now do. They're doing that now, other ethnic groups. Like you'll see a lot of Indians from South Asia, they'll, you know, different ethnic groups of them, they make up a lot of physicians and, you know, and doctors now. Then you see a lot of other ones like the Sikhs of them, they dominate driving the trucks in the trucking industry. There's a lot of them doing the dominating that now, driving trucks, and they started off as the drivers. Now they have their own large trucking companies, and they get in their own rest stops and everything, and set up along the interstate and all that, all to facilitate them. And they're basically controlling the industry with the Ashkenazis. You know, with them, same thing. A lot of them lawyers, a lot of them doctors. These are things they're known for. They control those industries. Booker T. Washington was trying to get us to go that route as well, like over 100 years ago. And that tied in more with us, you know, staying where we're at and trying to, you know, trying to make it work where we're at, which is what the Bible told us to do.
Okay. That was as plain as day. I mean, absolutely. So I can see, like, I was thinking the sleep doctrine was like, it was like, where do you go? Like, even if we did go to other countries, it wasn't making sense, I guess, is what I was saying. So I can see what Jeremiah was saying on that part. And as far as Booker T. Washington, I haven't really studied him like that. I read some of the stuff. I didn't really get into his understanding, his logic of how, you know, so-called African-American should behave, and I get it now. So pretty much stay economically stable where you are right now, or move to other areas where, if you want to be around other black people, you can kind of just move around that right here. But right now, the main focus is that we just stay stable and pray for our people. Is that pretty much what it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
So to speak. Okay. All right. That makes sense. But definitely, Brother Lane, I appreciate you coming on today, giving us this information. It kind of breaks it down and makes it quick and easy to the point. Because, like I said, we were getting a lot of talk about America, you know, was the so-called the last thing, and that, you know, it's going to be destroyed. Now, real quick with that. Is America going to be destroyed? Is that, I know you probably said that it has nothing, you didn't see America in prophecy, but still, will it be destroyed?
So at Christ's second coming, after at the end of the Great Tribulation, so during the Great Tribulation, a lot of the nations of the world are going to get attacked and have things happen to them. At the end of the Great Tribulation, when the last trumpet blows and Christ comes down to establish his kingdom with the saints, the, you know, the resurrected saints and the holy angels, you're going to have the Battle of Armageddon, right? And all the nations pretty much are going to be gathered for that and coming towards Jerusalem for the Battle of Armageddon. So when that happens, Babylon and her allies are going, Mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great. So we mentioned earlier, that's the Roman Empire. We're in the 10th and final reviving, which is the European Union. So the European Union and her allies, right, which is, you know, the West, are going to be destroyed. Like the scripture tells you, destroyed, wasted, you know, utterly destroyed. The Bible, though, also lets you know every nation, there's going to be a remnant from every nation. But the West is going, the European Union and her allies are going to be destroyed utterly. If America, if the United States of America is allied with her at that time, then America is going to get utterly destroyed. As the way it looked prior to the Trump administration, it was 100% America was going to get destroyed. The way it looks now is more, if things were to continue on the trajectory, that they are now, like just as they are now, and nothing changes the way Trump and J.D. Vance are talking, right, as far as our relationship with NATO and the European Union, I would say that's 50-50 if you're paying attention, because they're paying attention to what's going on. They're more so of trying to divest us away from being involved, in stuff with them as much as we have been. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But in America, elections, you know, things, the next election, someone else could win and take us, you know, right back to the way we were going before. So that's why the Bible tells us to pray and watch and to be vigilant and to be sober-minded. So that's it. With America, that's that. If it's not an ally with the West at that time, right, when the Battle of Armageddon and the Great Tribulation and stuff starts, if America is not allied with the West, then it'll be like the rest of the nations at that time. They're going to get hit too. They're just not going to be utterly wasted. Like all the nations of the world, the scriptures tells you at that Battle of Armageddon, they're essentially going to get destroyed too. They're just not going to be utterly, they're not going to just be utterly wasted. Utterly wasted meaning like your kingdom, your nation doesn't exist anymore. So like you have a remnant, but you know how, I'll wrap this up, but just to answer your question directly. Screw, you know, in the Tanakh, it tells you that the Israelites are going to have slaves, right? Because the Bible tells you slavery is not a sin. And the Israelites are going to have slaves from the Gentiles and the people who had enslaved them, throughout the years. And when I say years, thousands of years, right? And it's not just the Israelites that are going to have these slaves. It mentions how the Israelites are going to sell some of these slaves to the Sabians, and then the Sabians are going to sell them off to other people, right? So those people, you're going to have the Babylon, the European Union, that final reviving of the Roman Empire, they're going to be those nations destroyed and their allies destroyed. Those nations not going to exist anymore. There's still going to be a remnant from them, but their nations are not going to exist anymore, right? And a lot of them might be the ones going into captivity. Well, it tells you that in Revelation. They that kill with the sword must be killed with the sword, and they that led with captivity must be taken into captivity. So they're part of that's part of their, you know, punishment. You reap what you sow. So that's what, there's those nations, but then the rest of the nations, they're going to get destroyed, but it's not going to be where they cease to exist. Like, their kingdoms will still have their names, and they'll rebuild during the 1,000-year reign. But Babylon, Mystery Babylon the Great and her allies, they're not going to rebuild. It tells you that if you read, like, in Revelation 17, Revelation 18, going to Revelation 19, when Mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great gets destroyed, it says it's going to be forever destroyed and, like, a habitation for demons and, like, unclean birds and fowls. It'll be forever, you know, destroyed. They're not going to rebuild it. So hopefully that makes sense. Makes sense.
It makes great sense, and it's like everything is like to the point. It's not out there, because like I said, a lot of confusion going out there, a lot of misconceptions and, you know, misunderstandings going on out there, and it has, like, a lot of, you know, some African-American people kind of a little bit, and it's kind of, you know, taken away from the fact of what scripture actually says. And that's what I was kind of
trying to get to.
I wanted to target right there, you know, where are we in this end times? And like you said, you hit the nail on the head for all those points that I was looking for, so to speak. So I appreciate that and everything. And I definitely appreciate you coming on to Voice of Black Star and everything, you know, welcoming, coming in and having topics with us. I would like to invite you back, you know, if you wouldn't mind, to do more topics. There are other questions that I have that target things that I would love to speak on, you know, because I think it makes a difference, because in the community, so called African-American communities and in these camp communities, there's a lot of, you know, misunderstanding as to what scripture is truly saying on certain things. And I just kind of find it, you know, I just like to get to the point. You know what I'm saying? I want to, you know, want to make sure that I'm understanding proper. And like I said, I've listened to you and your wife. You guys have been doing an awesome job with your program on your YouTube channel. That's how I found you. And I find it very interesting that you talk about key things and you're to the point. Now, real quick, I have one more question before you leave. How did you really get started into the truth, so to speak? How did you come out of I know you're not out of Christianity, so to speak, because I know that's a whole other topic. People get really caught up with Christianity and religion, so to speak. But how did you come into the understanding of the truth of the so-called awakening, you know, that black people were the Israelites and that kind of thing? And then we'll close out with that.
Truthfully, I figured that out when I was a kid, because my dad was very Afrocentric and he made me read a lot of books about African history. And he wasn't even into history as much. He's more like of a science, math kind of person, but he geared me towards history books. And dealing with Africa and college level history books. So like I would read the typical Afrocentric ones, like, you know, Cheikh Anta Diop and stuff, and Van Sertima, and, you know, Yosef Ben Jachin, or however you pronounce his last name. So if I mispronounced it, forgive me. But stuff like that. But then I also would read, you know, like the European scholars from like the early 1900s, 1800s, mid-1900s, dealing with African history. And I was raised in church, my whole life. And my parents made me read the Bible, but they are coming from an educational background where they just, you know, barely graduated high school. So they made me, though, read the Bible for myself. And when I'm reading the Bible, and I'm correlating with what I'm reading in the African history, I'm like, well, dude, it's clear that the Israelites are an African people. And then I'm reading the stuff that was going on with us. I'm reading the stuff that was going on to the Israelites in the Bible, as far as them as a people and what the curses and just in general, like even this, the stories in the Old Testament, I identified with them. And so I correlated it, you know, I'm reading. So it would basically be like I'm reading about Hannibal and these, I'm reading about how these are Punic people. And my dad is telling me, yeah, we're the same as the people as Hannibal. And I'm like, well, what I'm reading, it says that the Punic people came from Canaanites and people from Israel, the Israelites. And I'm reading that in the history book, so I would identify with that. But when I would bring it up, other adults, when I would go to that, if I tried to take it serious, that's when, like, people in the church and, you know, my dad would be like, no, we come from Ham and, you know, Cush and all of that. So I always had that, knowledge that we were the Israelites. But once I became an adult, what got me to, I guess, with the awakening, more so with seeing, when I became an adult, I stopped going to regular church. Like when I turned 20, 21, I stopped going to like the Sunday churches. And I just started reading the Bible for myself. And I asked God to, because I knew they weren't teaching things according to the Bible. It was always something off. And I didn't have full understanding, but what understanding I did have, I knew there was things, you know, like you're letting a woman be a pastor, or you're gonna allow these two gay people to marry, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, this, mm-hmm. and these things, you know, I'm like, this isn't in the Bible says, you know, you're not supposed to do that. So I prayed and asked God to, you know, bring me across the right place of worship. Because I know, like, you're supposed to have, the scripture says, don't forsake the gathering of the fellowship. And eventually, what triggered it, I was reading Genesis 10, and I noticed how it said Japheth, and the Gentiles only for Japheth. And then I noticed how the rest of them weren't listed as Gentiles. And for whatever reason, that just triggered in my mind, again, what I remember when I was a kid, that we were the Israelites. And sometime like later that week, I came across IUIC online, you know, randomly. And that kind of started as far as if you're talking about the awakening, because with seeing them, it was, and then after that, there were others and stuff that came across my path and stuff too. And no harm or diss, I don't have anything against any, you know, anyone, but back then it was like, I was like, this is cool, but I'm like, y'all a little extreme. And I'm like, but to each his own. So I was just like, I was just like a little extreme with the ethnic doctrine. But I was like, I still saw that, and that kind of brought me in. And I saw some other camps as well. And so that was like, oh, there are other people, African Americans in number, that, you know and believe were the Israelites. And then I found others that were teaching the doctrine of, let's just follow exactly what the Bible says and, you know, do that. And so that encouraged me by knowing, like, oh, so there are other people like that. Because for a while it was just kind of, you know, feeling isolating. So, yeah, that's kind of my journey into the truth, or awakening.
Okay. Awesome, awesome, awesome. This is some good stuff, definitely some good stuff and great knowledge. Definitely loaded with wisdom. And I definitely appreciate you coming on to the show, to my podcast, Brother Lanny. And I will be looking forward to hearing from you again, get some more insight, you know, for the people who listen and follow, you know, Voice of Black Star. And I definitely, again, appreciate you coming on to my program. Do you have any questions or anything else for me today?
No, ma'am, if you don't mind me. I'm old school, kind of Southern, so I don't want to offend. Some people get offended by no ma'am, but I was just going to say no ma'am. It was enjoyable, but I don't have any questions.
Oh, trust me, I am okay. No, ma'am, it's perfect for me. That's okay. I'm almost 50, so I'm knocking at that door. So it's definitely nothing wrong with that. But I definitely appreciate you coming on. I appreciate Sister Amber reaching back out to me and, getting us connected on this on the program. And, again, I look forward to hearing from you again. And I want you to have a blessed and peaceful evening.
You too. Shalom.
Thank you so much, Shalom.